Welcome back. We're really doing it. Podcast number two.
Super exciting. So there was an article in the New York Times this week with the title Smash the Wellness Industry, which probably got forwarded to us like 50 times between the two of us. And that, you know, we definitely, you know, sort of struck a chord.
Even from non-wellness friends, which I appreciated.
I think like sort of especially. Mm-hmm. So we definitely were excited to have the podcast to give our 2 cents or maybe more like a 10 cents. And if you read the article, you won't be surprised that we had like a million issues with it. So the gist of the article was that the wellness industry is not making us well. The article opens with the author who's the novelist Jessica Knoll of Luckiest Girl, which I actually liked when I read, but now I'm like,
I couldn't actually get through that.
but she opens it. She's at a work lunch in LA and she's dismayed that the women are, you know, sort of talking endlessly about their weight loss and diets, which is funny because despite what we're going to say, I was just actually at a lunch where the two women were like, I have a question about weight loss and diet. I'm like, no. But the author has had her own turbulent history with body image. She had an eating disorder. She discusses things like going on 800 calorie day diets before her wedding and working out twice a day. And then she sort of lost me because she kind of equates these extreme measures, which, I don't know, lots of people younger had their unhealthy forays into weight loss and manipulating their food. But she kind of uses that as ammunition against the wellness industry and describes it as an industry of pseudoscience focused only on thinness and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. So I read this right before I went to bed and I couldn't sleep after. And actually, it's not that I hated everything about this. I honestly didn't. I did think that there was some truth buried in there among the many issues we have. And I can totally relate to having complicated relationships with other women when it comes to food and our bodies and sitting down at, you know, at meals and hearing or overhearing a lot of body talk, and especially within our offices. I think that that's something more, I mean, that doesn't luckily happen with my own friends anymore, but that's more things that I hear, you know, it's a common concern when people come in and say, how should I handle this group of friends? And business lunches where we really like solely focus on weight are felt like a little bit like a cliche that you see in like Sex and the City sort of scenario.
Right, exactly.
A little ancient. And the truth is that like Whole30, vegan diets, what can leave one person feeling really, really good can also become a total obsession for someone else. But I did agree that trying every single diet under the sun and sometimes going vegan hardcore, going Whole30, paleo, keto, it can totally mask yo-yo dieting and send someone in the other direction.
Yeah, I think the question is whether it's the fault of the regime or just that like anyone given a different rule system can kind of take it wherever they want to take it. I mean, as much as this article gave me a complete migraine, Carolyn couldn't sleep. I was like, my head was going to explode if I didn't speak about it. I think the conversation is important. Mm-hmm. So we're going to break it down, some of the themes in the article, and give you, you know, sort of our take on it. Mm-hmm. So let's get started. For starters, wellness experts or wellness products are not created equal. So I think that there are, like in every industry, there's shadiness and there's a wide range of quality. The example that when we were, you know, sort of going through this came to mind was like the lawyers on TV, the, you know, have you been injured in an accident? You know, that kind of thing. So that's not going to leave us feeling like the legal profession should be dismantled. It's just a question of the fact that there are, you know, certain practitioners that are, you know, that differ in quality. And she talks about an example. She goes to a nutritionist when she was younger and disclosed that she loves food and loves to eat, which I always think are the best clients because that means that they, you know, sort of have a range of food that they like. And the nutritionist had a major issue with this. Mm-hmm. So without knowing more, first of all, this nutritionist sounds like an idiot, but
and there are those do exist.
Yeah, but it wasn't a match. I'm reading a book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, which is kind of popular right now, and it's written by a psychotherapist, and she talks about how you have to see multiple people to find the approach that's right for you, and it seems like this is what the author should have done. So the question is this the wellness industry, or is this per experience or relationship.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. And there are different types of specialists for different things. And she does mention going to a different dietitian after, which I was really happy to hear her talk about registered dietitians in there and not just their own health coaches or nutritionists lumped together. And there are some RDs who we recommend out there and some definitely less so. And the same goes with supplements too.
You going to name anyone?
Am I allowed to?
In a future episode.
Okay. Good deal. And the same thing goes with supplements too. You know, lumping in diet teas with green teas or matcha is completely unfair also. Lumping in laxatives with a supplement like magnesium, there is just it's simply about a range of quality. And I think that that's something really important to think about here.
Completely. And we said, with every industry, the medical industry, the mm-hmm. beauty industry, any industry, there's practices that are frowned upon and yeah. sort of really good practitioners. So I don't think we have
just, to... Yeah. And to just say that it's all diet culture too.
Right.
Is where the danger is.
Sort of like throwing everybody under the rug. So I for the next one, I have to read a quote just because she said, you know, wellness is basically about pseudoscience. So this is the quote. "This was before I recognized wellness culture for what it was, a dangerous con that seduces smart women with pseudoscientific claims of increasing energy, reducing inflammation, lowering the risk of cancer, healing skin, gut, and fertility problems. But at its core, wellness is about weight loss." Wow.
Yeah.
So like this was where like the gloves were off for me. This is like a line was crossed. And I think for a lot of people, especially people who have struggled with some of the conditions that she alludes to, took issue. So inflammation is not pseudoscience, it's science. And using diet to treat, you know, dermatological issues, autoimmune issues, GI issues, it really isn't something to be mocked. It's probably what we're most proud of when we can like use our knowledge to help something that's completely, you know, serious, legitimate, causing people pain or a lack, you know, eroding their confidence. So it's powerful what food can do in terms of reducing pain people experience or mm-hmm. improving their quality of life. And like, she kind of jabbed at that and I didn't like it.
Yeah. And even having just returned from a food as medicine conference a couple of weeks ago, I can say that the theme of the entire thing is about chronic inflammation and the how it sort of wreaks havoc on our bodies, on our minds, emotionally also. It really is from like the gut out. It's not pseudoscience. It's really a major player in every disease and in weight too. A lot of times when someone isn't losing weight, there's something going on inflammatory. And so whether we're talking about chronic stress or spiked cortisol, hormonal issues, PMS, fertility issues, even lack of sleep or difficulty focusing, the word inflammation might be a little bit overused right now. I definitely hear that, but it's definitely not BS.
Completely. And I think that you know, hearing all of these terms a lot, even hearing detox or certain things that we hear, even we can give it the eye roll, but that doesn't mean, like you said, as it's at its core, it's not scientific.
Right.
So let's talk about weight loss, because I feel as if, first of all, in the real world or in the world that we see clients, it's, you know, we have a checklist of what brings clients to us. And even if somebody's coming in to improve their vitamin D level or lower their triglycerides or train for a race or try to get pregnant, whatever it is, almost everybody checks the weight loss box.
Yeah.
We are in New York, but so it's definitely something that is a concern, a goal for a lot of people, but it's become sort of like not okay or taboo.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's important to do everything in a healthy manner and that's mm-hmm. all we do. But like, where's the shame in trying to lose weight? What's funny is that the author describes sort of like her bad experiences and her good experiences. Her good experiences were like echoed a lot of the things that we try to do, mm-hmm. helping people lose weight in a sane, non-eating disordered way, having a healthy relationship with food and their body. You can, you know, sort of like want to change your body and still do it in a healthy way. And a little vanity is, you know, sort of realistic. So the author was promoting things that we believe in, reducing our stress about our bodies, reducing guilt, reducing like the time we all spend thinking about food.
Right. Yeah. And so the weight loss, like wanting to lose weight, not being like self-evolved in some way is absolutely drives me crazy recently. I see this a lot on social media, just like with the body positivity movement, which is incredible and important. But somehow that sort of makes weight loss this shameful thing. And because you love wellness and want to put adaptogens in your coffee and take chlorella and, you know, we're sipping on kombuchas as we record this and don't want to touch, you know,
Bear's fruit kombuchas. Very yummy.
Not sponsored yet. but I really think it's important that not wanting to touch candy that has all these food dyes in it or Doritos, which has like BHT, like has tons of like both emulsifiers, but also preservatives, that does not mean that you're secretly masking an eating disorder. And so that's my problem, I think, a lot with the intuitive eating and all foods fit and all that stuff movement. Like that doesn't mean that everyone has an eating disorder, disordered eating. I do think actually a lot of people just want to feel well and feel a lot better. And so wellness doesn't have to mean only weight loss, but it's okay if it does.
Yeah. And I think it just doesn't have to mean one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, if you don't want to lose weight, awesome. Mm-hmm. If you do want to lose weight, here are some good ways to do it. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And of course, one of the things that I'm super proud of how we do things at Food Trainers is that we do get people away from yo-yo dieting in a sane, normal way, but also are totally capable and happy to help someone lose weight and look, you know, and feel their best in their body.
100%. I mean, I think we both do. Most of our sessions, people come in and they immediately want to confess everything that hasn't gone well that week. And our first question is, okay, so what did you do well? So we're constantly trying to turn that tide in terms of the discussion and making it more positive experience
the way
versus
you speak to yourself,
guilt-ridden, et cetera. Should we talk about men?
I would love to.
So again, like we could you know, male bash a lot, but the article and one thing that, you know, lots of people picked up on was it implied that, you know, here are the women that the author discussed at the table talking about their Spanx and, you know, sort of body fat. And the men are over in the corner eating cheeseburgers, you know, with not a body care in the world. So that, I mean, it's just total BS. So talk to some men. We do. We love our guys at Food Trainers.
We do training.
They have body stuff too. And if anything, if it's sort of acceptable for women to chat about it, like it may be gaining ground, but men don't chat about it, you know? So I think sometimes in our office, we first hear like, you know, I'm uncomfortable to take my shirt off or my belts don't fit or things of that nature. I'm not as much of an athlete. So I think that men don't feel good with a gut. And, you know, men, if anything, fall prey to like the most extreme, dangerous diets.
Yeah, men can be even more type A with food than women a lot of the time. And sometimes that can be a beneficial thing if they march out of our office and come back in a month and have done everything. But a lot of times then they won't stray at all from the plan and it can get a little more, it can really zero in a lot more on their stuff. Really, as Lauren said, when men come into our offices, it's a lot of times the first time that they can voice some of their stuff. And they absolutely compare themselves to the six-pack, muscly sort of hairless men on ads and TV.
Is that a look that like women in general, I know it's like the like men with perfect hair and no body hair.
Sexy Calvin Klein ass.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like I never, my whole thing is like, I always feel like it's unappealing for a guy to look like he like spends his life in the gym.
Yeah.
Or like, and like takes his fitness more seriously than I do.
Yeah. I totally agree. That's why dad bods got cool a couple of years ago. But I do think like, but men still really can be very self-conscious.
I think that, and I personally think the same for women, like have like a real body, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
We love guys. Guys are not immune to all of this, you know, sort of BS, but like, we'll, you know, sort of, should we give our final thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, for me, wellness is personal. It's not necessarily about an industry because I think versus the industry, we have our own take on things. But like what we all should be after is what foods, workouts, like measures to improve your sleep, like what works for you? I had a problem with this author, like holding her own rocky personal experience, you know, with wellness or unwellness as sort of representative of the whole field, you know, sort of, I think just my own person, like I, clients all the time will say like, well, what do you do? And like, I resist starting advice with, this is what I do just because what works for me may not work for Carolyn or may not work for a client or a reader or for you. And that should be what we're all after.
Yeah, absolutely. And totally. And for me, this really, this self-judgment in all of this really struck a chord. And actually, I had said on Instagram, I was just chatting about this really briefly and was like, Lauren is going to have so many more great thoughts to add to this. But I had said something about if your friends sit around obsessing about your weight or their weight, go get some new friends. People did not like that. I got some flack for the negativity, but that also that negativity among friend groups is really, really catchy. Also, we're completely influenced by those people, the people that we surround ourselves with. There is this scene in Sex and the City, maybe it was even in the movie, where they're all sitting around talking about their bodies, I think over lunch, actually, basically exactly what the author of this article had described. And they're all complaining about, you know, their thighs or they shouldn't eat this. And Samantha doesn't say anything. And everyone just stares at her. I love her. It's such an important little scene because she just, everyone stares at her waiting for her to join in on that self-hatred. And she basically is like, what? I love my body. And like power to that. So I think that in that way too, like we need to be supporting our friends and not also looking for everyone to join in on our pity parties.
Mm-hmm. We do a program called Food Stalking where we're in touch with clients every day and we send a tip and they send their log at the end of the day. And a lot of the participants love like a no. They love like, let's do a week of no gluten or no sugar. But when I and both of us give a list of some of the no's, maybe it's no complaining for a week or no negativity or no body criticism. You know, there's a lot of ways you beyond like the food groups to improve our relationship with food.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we end, I wanted to quickly read a few Instagram messages I received because some were so eloquent. And this article got a lot of people talking and thinking, and we think that that's so great. So one person said, I can't stop thinking about this. I respect that some people have disordered relationships with food and traditional diet culture doesn't help that. But I really don't think the wellness industry is a big bad wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing pretending to be diet culture. Mm. Honestly, if all your friends talk about is weight loss and their bodies, maybe get some new friends.
See, somebody agrees with you.
Yeah, exactly. And she said, you know, my friends don't talk about that stuff and we love all the wellness stuff. Adaptogenic coffee makes you feel good. Drinking 100 ounces of water a day feels good. Eating a lot. I won't read since we're trying to be PC. Veggies and some well-served beef feels good. Why can't it just be about feeling good and living your best life? I really think the author is pointing the finger at the wrong entity here.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure the author got a lot of attention, which she might have been seeking. But just the example that comes to mind for me is our, and those are great quotes, the our Squeeze program, which is a program that we offer. It's sort of like the most strict version of food training, not how we recommend people necessarily living their lives. And despite how much work we put into it and sometimes maybe dread it, the feedback that we get in terms of people's confidence, how like the noise is quieted about food is, you know, it's like incredibly uplifting for us in a selfish way, but it just goes to show that like this, the same thing that can like on its surface seem a little bit stricter or, you know, rigid can leave the other someone else feeling, you know, sort of super confident and lighter. You know,
absolutely. And really see the changes that they're looking for. So those are our thoughts.
Anyway, we can't wait, you know, sort of to hear yours.
Yeah.
Let us know on Instagram or Facebook
what you think. And oh my gosh, we have to plug us. We can't forget.
Okay. Plug, plug.
Plug, plug. Please subscribe to our podcast and comment and do all the things that you can do. Share it and let us know what you think. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, all of that good stuff. And thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.